Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 6, day 5 of our study of Matthew. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Matthew 18, 21 through 35. Welcome back to the 10-Week Bible Study Podcast. Again, I am your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'm excited to jump back into the book of Matthew today. If you've been following along with us live, you realize there's been about a month-long break in between yesterday's podcast and today's podcast. And for those of you that follow along regularly, I'm sorry about that. Hopefully going to get back into a regular schedule again. All right, with that, let's go ahead and pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us. Come and fill our hearts with the knowledge of you. Touch us, God. Lord, we want to know you more through your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, with that, let's go ahead and jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Some versions will say 70 times 7. The implication here is that it's a lot. It's more than 7. It's not necessarily 77 or 7 times 7, which would be 490 times. The implication here is that you just keep forgiving. I don't think, and most scholars, most people understand that this is a little bit of hyperbole that Jesus is using. He's not trying to set a number that you have to forgive this many times and then no more. He's saying you have to keep forgiving. You have to keep forgiving on and on. And the implication here is because the Lord forgives us over and over. There's no end. The Lord doesn't have a hard cap on how many times he will forgive us. He will continue to forgive us, and we continue repenting. We come back to him. So there is no limit to his forgiveness, and so there shouldn't be a limit to our forgiveness. That's the point here. So not many people will try and twist this to try and say, well, Jesus is saying 77, 78th time, you know, you get to look at them in the eye and say, go to hell. That's not what Jesus is saying, not at all. This is him again, using a bit of hyperbole to say forever. You just keep forgiving, Peter. He's just using the number. He's taking the number that Peter gave him and putting an exclamation mark on it, but it's not a hard number. Back to the scripture. Verse 23, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. Okay, so this is insane, actually. You know, the amount of money here is millions and millions and millions of dollars. And if the servant can't repay the master right now, and he falls on his knees and he says, please be patient with me, I'll pay it back. If he couldn't pay it back at this point, like whatever the exchange here, we're to understand that this is insurmountable. And so him even falling on his knees saying, please be patient with me, I'll pay it back. You know, the servant and the master both understand here. We are to understand that they both know that this is absurd. He will never, ever, ever pay it back. It's not possible for him to pay it back. It's outside of the realm and scope of his means. Jesus is fully intending us to understand that this will never, ever be paid back. And the servant knows that. The master knows that. So the master, for whatever reason, has pity on the servant and says, you know what? Not only will I not throw you in jail, what you deserve, like whatever our agreement was from the beginning, I will, you know, I'm going to throw you in jail and sell you. Not only he's not going to throw him in jail, he's going to sell him. He's going to turn all of his family into slaves. I mean, this is terrible. Everything about this. And so whatever their agreement was, you know, if it was like the Merchant of Venice and this guy is, you know, Shylock or whatever, and he wants his pound of flesh, you know, that's the thing. I have to imagine that Shakespeare actually was thinking of this passage when he came up with that story. But here we have this, you know, that, hey, I'm going to sell you And he falls on his knees and begs for mercy, and he begs for more time. And no amount of time is going to help him pay this back. And so not only does he not sell him into slavery, the master says, I tell you what, I will just forgive your debt. I will cancel your debt entirely. Meaning he's given him, just given this guy millions and millions and millions of dollars that the guy's obviously lost. So, I mean, he has nothing to show for it, but you know, he's been forgiven this unthinkable debt, unthinkable debt. And that's the context. That's the setup for the real story that Jesus has got. All right, continuing on. Verse 28. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. So nothing in comparison. Continuing on, he grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. Verse 30. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. So, you know, what we have here is obviously this a bit of contrasting storylines here, right? The master, the first master, has forgiven this dude an unthinkable debt. And he was going to be, you know, sold to pay off the debt, and the master forgives it. And then immediately this servant goes to find some dude who owes him, you know, 10 bucks, 100 bucks. I mean, anybody's, the way the math works out on this, it's not necessarily important how much money this was. It's the difference in the sizes of how much money this was. And that's the point here. It's a very small amount of money. And he's like, no, you're going to pay it back. And the guy's like, no, please have mercy. I'll get it for you. And mercilessly, this guy throws him in jail in a debtor's prison where you would work and pay off your debts. And you know, so this guy can get paid back this paltry sum. So really what we're seeing here is we're not seeing like the numbers. And that's the point Jesus is making for Peter. He's not telling him, you know, I don't want you to forgive seven times. I want you to forgive 77. It's not about the numbers. It's about the mercy. It's about that the first master has had incredible, unspeakable mercy. And the second master has had, you know, the servant who is now the second master, the second part of the story, he's had zero mercy over something small. First master, obviously it's God in this story, great mercy for great offense. Second master, the servant, no mercy, zero mercy for small offense, small problem. That's the point Jesus is making here is Peter, you're asking me if you should forgive seven times. And Jesus is basically saying, you don't even understand the question you're asking me right now. Whatever in this life that we are asked to forgive, and we are asked to forgive huge things. Imagine the depth of depravity that mankind is capable of. Imagine the terrible things that you read in the news that are perpetrated between two people all the time. Imagine all of the most awful, terrible things done to mankind. Jesus is basically saying, listen, what I'm asking you to forgive pales in comparison to what you've been forgiven. There is no circumstance under which it's okay for you not to have mercy. That is the point of this parable Jesus is making very clear. Back to the scriptures. Verse 32. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. And that's the really difficult part, isn't it? Jesus isn't saying, if you will act like you forgive them, then my heavenly Father will forgive you. That's not what he's saying. He's saying you actually have to forgive. You actually have to forgive. And that's difficult. That's a challenge. That's hard. And I'm sure Peter's jaw, is on the ground at this point. Cause Peter's like, man, you know, Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive, you know, James over here? He's really like or John, you know, in the book of John, there's this fun exchange going on between, Peter and John all the time. So maybe he's thinking John, I don't know who he's thinking, but Peter's saying, how many times do I have to forgive my brother? 7 times? I mean, that's reasonable. I shouldn't have to forgive him 8 times. I should not have to do that. I shouldn't have to forgive someone 8 times, Lord, right? And Jesus, again, he's turning the table. He's saying, no, you are completely misunderstanding this relationship here. You have been forgiven so much. You deserve an eternity in hell in separation because of your sin. And I have taken that away, not only given you like the fire insurance of not going to hell, but giving you an eternity in my presence in perfection forever, for eternal increase in who you are and what you have. That's the exchange that's happened here. And you're asking me if it's okay if you stop forgiving someone at 7 times. It doesn't make sense. And that's what Jesus is trying to relay to Peter here. And you know, it's very easy for us. You know, we see the offenses that are going on, and it's very difficult to understand the punishment that awaits and the salvation that we've been offered. But it's very, very real. Sin is very, very real. The first half of this chapter dealt with how serious sin is. And so it is very, very real. God takes it very, very seriously. And the punishment for it is unthinkable. And the salvation from it is equally unthinkable. And so to compare that salvation to not having to forgive someone an 8th time, it's very difficult. This brings up some difficult things like, can you lose your salvation and so on from that? I don't even know how to answer that from this passage. The point here is not necessarily trying to make a theological argument about that, although I'm sure you can, and many people do. The point here is that if you don't forgive, you're not forgiven. If you choose not to forgive, I mean, this is unequivocal here. If you can't forgive the small things, then you're not forgiven. I think it goes back to the fact that how can you understand, how can you wrap your mind around how big a forgiveness you have if you're not willing to forgive? And really it's this self-justification mentality all over again is, you know, I'm not going to forgive you because I don't really need forgiveness. And so if you can intentionally not forgive someone in this kind of way, then you don't understand. You have not wrapped your head around salvation to begin with, or you've willfully put it away somehow. That being said, this is a subject that can bring fear in people's hearts. You know, oh my gosh, did I not forgive someone and lose my salvation? That's also not how this is working. That's not the point. Jesus is using a parable. You can't use a parable. You can't use one little story that Jesus is telling to and extrapolate it to every aspect of that. Again, you can make theological arguments here. The point is not like, you know, can you, you know, accidentally lose your salvation because yesterday you didn't forgive and now you did and you've lost your salvation. That's not what this is about. That's not what this is going into. This is making the overarching, you know, generalization about how forgiveness with God works. If you are someone who refuses to forgive, if you are someone who refuses to give mercy, and I don't know what the standard is. Jesus isn't going into that. Is it if you choose not to forgive, you know, for 30 minutes, you know, off to hell with you? Or is it like if you are making, like if you are setting your heart against this? I think that's more what we're talking about here. If you are someone who's unmerciful in the face of unthinkable mercy, then when you stand before the Lord and you have a track record of being unmerciful, the Lord is probably going to say, away from me, for I never knew you, because you didn't know the mercy that I gave you. You didn't actually know me. I think that's what we're talking about here. If you know Jesus, it's very difficult to not show mercy. Now, does that mean that because of our sinfulness, we won't show mercy? No, absolutely. We will find ourselves in these situations. And when we do, we have to throw ourselves again on the mercy of Jesus and say, forgive me, help me go make this right. Do whatever is necessary to overcome that and forgive. This also brings up problems with, you know, what if I've been abused, and what if there's an abuser, do I forgive them and just keep going back to them? And, you know, that's a totally different set of conversations. This is not about, you know, forgive an abuser and just run back to them. No, that's not what Jesus is advocating here either. But if you've been abused, the Lord is calling us, calling you to forgive that abuser, forgive that person who's done you wrong. Absolutely. And that can feel so difficult, but at the same time, it's so freeing. It is so freeing to be able to forgive. We have a good friend who's just coming out with a book right now, and it's about her story about being abused in the worst ways possible growing up by the people that she should have been able to trust the most. Horrifically abused. And it's her story of forgiveness and growth and just how amazing the Lord has dealt with her, what the Lord has done with her in her life. And it really, a lot of it comes down to her ability to forgive in the face of terrible circumstances. Did that mean that afterwards she willingly put herself back in a position of subjection to those people? No, not when you don't have to, not when you can get away. But forgiveness is key. You still have to forgive. We all have to forgive. It's a cancer that will rot us out from the inside. All right. If any of you watching or listening to this struggle with that, and you struggle with that ability to forgive, and you need help, you need resources, reach out to me. We can begin a dialogue and try and find ways, practical ways to help you learn to overcome those things and forgive. There, it really is possible. Sometimes forgiveness can be like an onion. You forgive and you think you're done, and then the enemy brings that thing roaring back up to you, and that offense dwells back up, and you have to forgive again. It's like peeling off the layers of the onion. They're big at first. They get smaller over time, but they always make you cry. They're always painful. And so there are ways to do this. This can be done. If you're someone who's reading this and thinking, I've tried and I continue to fail. Am I going to hell? I want to tell you there's hope. There's power in this. So if you struggle with this, I would love to have a private dialogue, a private conversation with you to help you and find resources, pastors, counselors in your area that can help you with this. So if that's you, then please look in the comments section and reach out to me. All of my information is there. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.